It's the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis in Cleveland for the Republican National Convention. We're here with legend Ann Compton, ABC News. How many years were you there, Ann?
I stayed at ABC News and walked out the driveway of the White House after 41 years in the same job, 10 elections, and this makes number 11.
One of my idols. There weren't that many women doing what you were doing then. Tell us about that at the start, the beginning for you.
There were no skirts in the West Wing around the Oval Office. There were very few women in positions of power, the senior White House staff. There were a few women, prominent women print journalists like Helen Thomas of United Press International, but ABC News decided that after Richard Nixon resigned and they were redoing their lineup at the White House to send a 27-year-old girl in to be the first woman to cover the White House for television.
How many times were you on Air Force One?
I have no idea. We don't get frequent flyer miles, so I've lost track of not only how many takeoffs and landings. I've been on three different incarnations of Air Force One, but I've also been to every one of the 50 states and six continents. I don't know how many countries I've lost. Now I can't even remember what countries I've been to.
So, and I know you're from Chicago originally, right? Chicago area. And you have a family, you have kids. How are you able to balance all of that with the incredible schedule that a White House chief White House correspondent has to deal with?
One of the ways my husband and I got through the years of covering politics and four children in 5 years was to not think about it, just forge ahead and do it. I had my first baby between the Iowa caucus and the New Hampshire primary, the Sunday between those two dates in 1980, and the second by election night that night. I was out on the campaign full time, and I was in maternity clothes by election night.
And this is my first convention covering a political event. I've covered plenty of political events, but first convention. You've covered so many countless conventions. How does this one compare your thoughts as you look at yet another one, a very unconventional convention?
This is my last rodeo. This will do it for me. I have covered enough of them. It's time for a new generation. But look how politics has changed. Look how the media has changed. This is a different world for American culture. And I used to be able to walk down onto the floor of the convention and find political leaders, get right up close to them in every delegation, talk to them about what their hopes were for the party, what they thought of the opposition, and you would get good, candid back and forth with them. Now, there are so many on the floor here tonight that are somewhat new to politics, and there is a level of anger that I don't ever remember seeing in politics before.
Well, let's talk about that, because the discourse, you're right, is totally different than we've seen before. And I think it's scary, not only to people who are around here, regular politicians, people who have been around this business for a long time and journalists, but I think there's a lot of people in America that are frightened by what they're seeing.
You know, in 1980, we had a landslide election. Reagan won 44 states. He won 49 states in his reelection 4 years later. 20 years later, in the year 2000, we had the most narrow election you and I will ever see. In fact, it went all the way to the Supreme Court, which voted 5-4 to give the election to the Republicans. Here we are 16 years later. That tight division, that terrible divide in the country has given us a very dysfunctional government. No wonder people are sick and tired of it.
Are any of these people that you're seeing here reminiscent? I mean, and again, you covered Reagan, you covered the Bushes, right? The Bushes, Clinton. I mean, there was a certain demeanor and temperament to these men. Do you think that at the Republican convention here tonight, it's going to be Donald Trump? Can you see a pivot there?
Honestly, one of the starkest changes, as you mentioned, all of these seven presidents I covered and on the floor at conventions over a period of 40 years, the media is now considered the enemy. The hostility shown reporters, the anger in the public saying that the national media is so destructive. I don't ever remember a time where I felt afraid to be in a political setting where the media was considered the real bad guy.
Where do you think, where does that come from? Is it just the overly divisive political rhetoric, the fact that you say that this country is so deeply divided when it comes to politics and not unified? What's happening here? Why is it being turned around on the media? Is it fair?
I think you described it absolutely perfectly. The American people see no forward movement of how things are going to get done, how government's going to work. They see no way for the incredible divide to begin to come together again. I don't see it either. And I think that fuels the frustration and a sense of blame. They don't blame their own partisan factions that they support, but they sure blame everyone else. And that's to be expected. What dismays me as I come back out of retirement for one more rodeo is that I don't see anything from either political party right now that shows there really will be a productive way forward. Mike Pence talked a little bit about it last night. I think if somebody like a Tim Kaine were chosen tomorrow by Hillary Clinton to be the vice president, both of those men have a history of working across the aisle. They're strong partisans, but the tops of the ticket, I don't see it.
It's interesting, too, when we talk about this fever, really, that people have about the media, and we see it a lot here. I'm sure we're going to see it next week in Philadelphia. But the thing that kind of freaks me out is that it's being driven by the media. There are parts of the media, whether it's cable news or the internet or, you know, Breitbart or some, don't trust the media. They are the media telling you not to trust. And sometimes I'll bring that up to people, and they don't really want to hear that, Ann.
Your use of the word fever is perfect. That is exactly what has gripped the American conscience. What worries me in the year 2016 and the way we report now and the short, sporadic spurts of information that get out to the voters, are American voters in 2016 getting the news they really need to know about the important issues, what will affect their wallets, what affects their homes, what affects the security of the country? Are they getting enough good information to make the best decision possible? And that's something you and I are trying to do, covering this convention, covering the issues, make sure American voters have all the information they need for them to make the best decision.
You hear that, American voters? That's what we're doing. Ann Compton, thank you for everything, and it's a pleasure to have you back here.
So much. It is a surreal experience to come back and see this one more time. But this time, I'll be on the floor a little bit, but I'll be up. My microphone is up where the balloons are that will be coming down. It's nice to have an eagle's eye view on my last show.
Beautiful. Ann Compton, ABC News, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Violetta Padamex of the WGN Traffic Trouble Spots.